Welcome to installment 26 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments, positive commandment number 26 regarding the priestly blessing or Birchas Kayanim, and positive commandment number 12, to put tefillin on the head. We are familiar with the priestly blessing primarily on the Jewish holidays on Yom Tov. But as the Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the actual commandment is for the Kohanim, the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to bless the people every day. In his legal code, the Rambam describes how this commandment was fulfilled at the times of the temple in Jerusalem. Every day after the morning Tomid sacrifice was brought, the Kohanim would go to the Ezra's Kohanim and ascend the Duchah on the platform to bless the people. There they would raise up their hands above their head after having washed them above their head. Today, and as well as in those times outside the temple, the Kohanim raised their hands only up to their shoulders. But as a result of the tremendous revelation of the divine presence, which was in the temple in Jerusalem, they lift up their hands above their head. The Talmud says that the Shechina would rest between the fingers of the Kohanim, and therefore it was forbidden to stare at their hands as a result of the tremendous revelation which could actually harm a person's eyesight should he look at that time. Today, one also does not stare upon the hands of the Kohen. However, the reason now is as a result of the possible distraction which would occur as a result of concentrating on the Kohen's hands instead of listening to the blessing which is coming from his mouth. Another special quality of the priestly blessing in the temple was the use of the Shem HaMefurash. This is the pronunciation of the four-lettered name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, as it is written. This is not done anymore today, and our sages tell us that after the times of Shimon HaTzadik, in the beginning times of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, after his death, many miracles ceased from the Beis HaMikdash. And because of the dissipated presence of the Shekhinah, no longer did they use this Shema Mefurish. In fact, it was only rarely used and could be taught only on rare occasions. We learn that the sages taught their students only once in 7 years how to pronounce this name of Hashem. Since if other people would know of it, they would use it in the wrong occasions and in an improper manner. Although that today in the land of Israel, there are many places where the priestly blessing is performed every Shabbos, and in some places even every day, the custom is in general for the Kohanim to bless the people only on Yom Tov, only on one of the holidays. And the reason is that then the Kohanim and all of the people are in a joyful state and are capable of having this blessing dwell upon them and be an effective blessing. At first, the whole idea of the priestly blessing sounds strange. How could it be that the Kohanim have the power to bless the people? After all, although there are certain people who are disqualified from, certain Kohanim who are disqualified from taking part in this blessing, nevertheless, even the simplest Kohen, should he be lacking any severe abnormalities or any grave sins, is allowed to bless the people. How could it be that such a simple Kohen could bless such a great Torah scholar? The answer is, as the Rambam tells us clearly in his legal code, that it is not the Kohanim who are doing the blessing. Rather, it is Hashem himself who blesses the Jewish people. However, he uses the Kohanim as his instruments, that when they go through the specified acts of saying the priestly blessing, then Hashem uses them as the vehicle to express his blessings to the Jewish people, the deep, tremendous blessings of Birchas Kohanim. The powers of the priestly blessing are tremendous, and among the many sayings of our sages indicating this tremendous power, we can pick out one of the Medrash. The Medrash says that if a person has had a dream, and they imagine a knife which is tearing them, chopping them to pieces, what is their cure? They should go to the Kohanim and stand before them when the priestly blessing is being said. In the Siddur, there is actually a prayer which is said in order to prevent unwanted dreams from happening, which is said in the last of the three priestly blessings, however, only when the Kohanim are singing, not when they are saying the words, since we are required to listen to the words when the Kohanim are uttering them. the blessing which the Kohanim utter before actually giving their priestly blessing, Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, ends with the words, V'tzivonu levarech es ami Yisrael ba'ahava, that we are commanded to bless the Jewish people with love. Why do they add that their blessing must be with love? In the commentaries in the Code of Jewish Law, the Zohar is quoted in a book of the primary book of Kabbalah, which states that if the Kohen does not have love for the people, or the people do not have love for the Kohen should rather not give the blessing. And there could actually be some danger involved in doing so. Therefore, the Kohanim expressly indicate their love for the people before they actually embark upon the blessing of Birchas Kohanim. As we mentioned earlier, in the temple, the Kohanim would raise their hands above their head. However, outside the temple, as in present times, the custom is for the Kohanim to raise their hands up to their shoulder height. And they spread their fingers apart in a configuration, usually with five spaces between the total of 10 fingers. It is said that God is metzitz min achrakim, that He peeks out between these cracks. Again, indicating the godly revelation which is present at the time of the priestly blessing. We can understand something regarding the tremendously high effect of this blessing by comparing the idea of blessing and prayer, as explained in Chassidic philosophy. The idea of a blessing is that the godly flow is actually already present in the heavens. However, for some reason, there is something blocking it to keep it from coming down into the physical world. This is one of the reasons why in the blessings which Yaakov gave to his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, he could not change around the order in order to correspond to the age of the grandchildren. That since he was only giving a blessing, the blessing already existed in the heavens. And since he saw that the blessing was not in order of age, he could do nothing to change it. Although he was giving the blessing, so to speak, a blessing is only bringing down into effect something which already exists above. This is one of the reasons that we must pray for our livelihood and for our health every day of the year, even though it has already been calculated in the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for the entire year. If it has already been determined, why should we bother to pray for our livelihood? The answer is that although the calculation has been made and is being carried out, it might apply only in a spiritual sense. In order to bring it down so that it should apply in the physical world as well, we need the idea of a bracha. The idea of a blessing is to bring it down from its source into actuality here in the physical world. That is the idea of a bracha. The idea of tefillah, of prayer, is even if this certain thing does not exist. We say in our prayers, Yehi Rotzen, may it be Hashem's will. The blessing already is Hashem's will, and the blessing already exists in a spiritual realm. But when it doesn't, we can ask for an even higher revelation in the tefillah, in our prayers, and we say, Yehi Rotzen, may it be Hashem's will that even this should exist, even though it does not exist previously. We see, therefore, that tefillah, prayer, has an advantage over blessing, that the prayer can reach a much higher level, even something which does not exist in the natural order of things, whereas the blessing is only to bring down something which is already existing. However, there is an advantage of the blessing over the prayer, that when you ask in a prayer, Yehi Rotzen, it might be fulfilled and it might not, whereas if somebody gives a blessing, it automatically implies that he has the power to give that blessing, that he in a way stands higher than the source of the blessing, and therefore has the ability to bring it into actuality. Therefore, in prayer, you are uncertain whether the prayer will be fulfilled, whereas in a blessing, you are certain it will be fulfilled. This is in general the difference. When it comes to the blessing of the Kohanim, we have both advantages. On the one hand, it is not limited to a blessing which exists in the natural order of things, because we know that Hashem is the one directly giving the blessing here. Although the Kohanim are uttering the words, the blessing comes straight from God. Therefore, the blessing is not only limited to something which is already existing in a spiritual realm, but the blessing can come from higher than Seder Ishtalshus, higher than the entire order of creation, since Hashem Himself is giving the blessing. In this way, it is similar to prayer, which can bring out a revelation higher than presently exists. However, it also has the advantage of a blessing. and that the Kohanim at that moment stand higher than the order of the universe, of the Seder Ishtaushalos. And therefore, when they give their blessing, it is certain that the blessings will be fulfilled. Just as it is certain that anyone giving a bracha, anyone that gives a blessing, it will be certain. If they are fit to give the blessing, that it will be fulfilled. Positive commandment number 12 involves the tefillin, the phylacteries which are worn on the arm and on the head. As we will see in tomorrow's portion at more length, positive commandment 13 also involves the tefillin. The difference is that positive commandment 12 is the tefillin which are placed on the head, and tomorrow's commandment involves the tefillin placed on the hand. As the Rambam will explain in tomorrow's portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs, they are counted as two separate mitzvahs, as the Talmud discusses the possibility that when one has only one of the two articles of tefillin, either only the one for the head or the one for the arm, the law is he should put on whichever one he has. As the Talmud says, if he cannot do two mitzvahs, at least let him do one mitzvah. From this, the Rambam learns that they count as two separate mitzvahs. As the Rambam always in Sefer HaMitzvahs gives the reasoning why he counts something as a mitzvah or does not count it as a mitzvah, and why sometimes they count as two or three mitzvahs, and so on. As he wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs primarily to enumerate which mitzvahs are counted in the total of 613. The Rambam mentions that this commandment is repeated four times in the Chumash. Four times it is mentioned, the commandment of tefillin. One of the reasons is to stress the tremendous importance of this commandment. As our sages say, that huksha kol ha-teira le-tefillin, that one that fulfills tefillin is as if he has fulfilled the entire Torah, since the entire Torah is compared to tefillin. In addition, tefillin can lead one to perform the entire range of Torah and mitzvahs. As the idea behind the tefillin is shibud hamayach valev, to subjugate one's heart and to subjugate one's mind. That the heart's desire should be not for physical things, but rather to come closer to and to serve Hashem. And so too the mind should be directed to thoughts of Torah and thoughts of holiness, rather in secular thoughts and in coarse physical thoughts. The wearing of tefillin is in fact one of the mitzvahs where the intention of doing the mitzvah is an integral part of the mitzvah. Therefore, when putting on the tefillin, one should have this in mind, that one is subjugating the heart and subjugating the head. And this is the reason why the tefillin of the arm are placed directly facing the heart, to stress again this lesson that we are wearing them in order to direct our heart to the service of Hashem and direct our thoughts and our mind also to His service.